Psalm chapter 100, verse 4. The 100th Psalm. We start reading with verse number 1. We'll read the whole 100th Psalm. It's only 5 verses. The scripture says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. For we are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Father, bless the going forth of this holy word tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could just imagine for a moment, David wrote many of the Psalms. David, his time was about 1,000 B.C., 1,000 B.C., so 3,000 years ago, we have people talking like this. See, Darwin and his crowd would have you believe that we humanity, lived in caves and evolved to the point that we are. These people here, listen, folks, these people 3,000 years ago had more sense than most people do today. They did. They had a better understanding of what life was about, their relationship with the world, their relationship with God. And we're talking here about a simple thing. It's your attitude about your relationship with the Lord. Thankfulness, you see. Thankfulness is involved in this. Thankfulness is an indication of a heart that's not shot through with pride. Pride is the antithesis of thankfulness. Pride is the insidious sin that infects every last one of Adam's race. In varying degrees, in varying ways, it manifests itself. But pride is the granddaddy of all the sins. Pride asserts itself. Pride declares its rights. Pride says that I must have. Pride says that you owe it to me, God. And they shake their fist in the face of God. Pride says, I am. God says, I am. And so pride is the mother lode. It's the underlying foundation of rebellion against God. And the 14th chapter of Isaiah, when Lucifer said, I will be like the Most High. I will exalt my throne above the stars. I will. I will. I will. I will. That was pride saying, I am what I am, and I deserve to be elevated and exalted above everything. But thankfulness takes an entirely different attitude. Thankfulness says, Lord, I really don't deserve what you've done for me. You've been good to me. You've been good to me. I know, Lord, that I go work with my hands or my mind or whatever that you've blessed me with and the gifts that you've given me. But you gave them to me. If you hadn't given that to me, how would I earn money? How would I make a living? How could I do anything without the gifts of God? That's what it's about. Thankfulness is a heart that's right with God. Now, you can quote scripture till you're blue in the face and preach to you until the walls cave in. But if you're full of pride and self, there's no power in it. That's the one thing we lack more than anything in the church of God today is the power. And the power can only come by the Holy Ghost. Not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, in the book of Zechariah. As you get older, you understand that. You learn that lesson. You have to learn it. God reduces you to the mortality that you are. Many times you may face death before you ever are called out of this world. Many times you'll understand your mortality. And it's okay when that happens because it kind of gets your eye off of who you are and onto who He is. We need Him, folks. So tonight I want you to understand one thing. If nobody else on this earth is thankful, this old boy is. Yes, sir. I am thankful. I am thankful. In a minute, I'm going to tell you what I'm most thankful for. But I'm going to go through a few scriptures with you quickly. Because I want you to have an opportunity to say something tonight for the glory of God. In 1 Samuel chapter number 2 and verse number 1, Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. because I rejoice in thy salvation. There's none holy as the Lord. There's none beside thee. This is the thankfulness for answered prayer. Hannah prayed, God answered prayer. If I didn't believe God answered prayer, I'd wonder what all this is about. I've seen him answer prayer. You saw a man stand up here in his pulpit that for all intent and purposes was dead and given up for dead. But he didn't die because the church refused to stop praying for him. Thomas Renfro is still here. It's a miracle. He had an incurable cancer. God healed him. Now, God can heal this little thing I've got. Some folks are a whole lot worse off than I am. Believe me, a lot worse off than I am. But God can heal it. God can do whatever he can do above and beyond all that you ask or think. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Hannah didn't give up. She prayed. And she brought that little boy back to the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 15. Here's what the Apostle Paul says. 2 Corinthians 9:15. He said, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. That word unspeakable literally means priceless. In plainer words, he that spared not his only son, how shall he also with him freely give you all things? God's a good God. He's a good God. He's not measured by the money in your pocket. He's not measured by the cattle in your fields. He's not measured by the lands, your yachts and your cars and your houses. He's measured by who he is. Maybe the day will come when God will be more precious to us than our money. Maybe the day will come when fellowship with the Lord means more to us than acceptance by mankind, being received into the culture of this age, which is constantly badgering you and beating you down. But I'd rather have fellowship with the Lord. I'd rather crawl back in my closet and shut the door and get in there and get a hold of God. I had. The Apostle Paul was thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? In Matthew chapter number 14 and verse number 19, Matthew 14:19, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now watch this. He took the 5 loaves, 2 fishes, Matthew 14, verse 19. He commanded them to sit down. He took the 5 loaves and 2 small fishes. And looking up to heaven, he looked into the face of God. He blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Do you know what this fish and bread was a type of? Christ. He said, labor not for that bread that perisheth. I am the bread of life, he said. You know what he did? He looked into the face of the Father, and the Father looked into the eyes of his Son. And the Son looked up to the Father and said, I thank thee, Lord, that I'll give myself to you for them. That's what that was about. What's going on here is far greater than what went into their belly. What's going on here is a direct communication from the Father to the Son. He looked up into the Father's eyes and said, I am the bread of life, and I give my life freely. And the Father was pleased with his Son. That's more important than anything any man has to think. Whatever he thinks about you or his accomplishments are meaningless. If you can look up into the Father's face and say, Lord, my life is here on this earth because you put me here. If I'm here tomorrow, it'll be because you let me get up in the morning. If I make it another year, it's because you've blessed me and been good to me. But if I don't, I know where I'm going, Father. I know where I'll be. I know I've told you this before, but it's one of the most blessed things I've ever heard. A man was being led to the executionary block, and his executioner was about ready to cut his head off. I think that's the way he died. And the executioner was sweating, and he was nervous. But the Christian who was about to be offered up said, here, take my hand. He took his hand. He said, now, lay it over my heart. And the Christian that was about to die, his heart was going, boom, 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 boom. Not excited one bit. No sweat. He knew that in the next moment, he would be with the Father. If you're not ready to die like that, you're not really ready to live. Amen. And you can't fake it. You can't fake that one. You can't fake it. It's either real life or death. And that's all this world can offer you is death. Anytime you turn away from the Lord God Jehovah, you turn to death. All the rest of the gods of this world are nothing but death. There's only one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Now I'm going to give you a couple more here. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 25, here's what it says. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. This is the Lord Jesus Christ thanking God for his wisdom. Because he said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. You can get very frustrated in the ministry. You can get very frustrated trying to lead people to the Lord. You can get very frustrated trying to coerce people into living right. But you can't change anybody. You can't even change yourself. And so the Lord Jesus Christ says, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you chose to reveal this unto babes. Now think about that. Think about that. You chose to reveal it to babes. That doesn't mean you try to win people to the Lord. You do. You try to witness. You try to tell people about the Lord. You do everything you can. But you are not the one that saves them. The Holy Ghost must be present or they cannot be born again. That is an absolute, utter impossibility. As a matter of fact, it's the height of arrogance. Because you've taken your salvation into your hand and said, look, God, what I can do. I'll just choose the time and the place and I'll have my little sinner's prayer and everything's going to be okay and you've got to save me. No, he doesn't. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. So what we've got there in Matthew chapter number 11 is the Lord Jesus thanking God for his way of saving sinners because he said, you chose to reveal this to babes, not to the wise and prudent. Revelation chapter number 4 and verse 9 says, and when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about him, and they were full of eyes within. They rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. You mean man is not the end of all things? You mean God didn't make all of this for me? You mean he didn't create the universe for me to explore? You mean he created it for himself? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ said all things were made by him and for him. We are ultimately going to bring praise and glory to God as his crowning achievement of creation. Say, why do you call man the crowning achievement? Because nothing else was made in the image of God. How could it be higher than that? Think about that for a minute. How could something be higher than a creature that's made in the image of God? Think about that. And he made man in his image. Man lost that image when he sinned against God in the garden. And then the Lord Jesus Christ came and restored that image. Because the Lord Jesus was the express image of God. And that was one of the reasons of the incarnation, is to restore the image, because we are made anew in Christ Jesus. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Amen. He's the last Adam, second man. Every man on the face of this earth is bearing the image of the first man. He looks like the first man. He lives like the first man, talks and walks and breathes like the first man. But that second man, last Adam, is our father. That's where we came from, and that's what we're going to be. We're going to bear the image of the heavenly. We have borne the image of the earthy until we're born again. Then we bear the image of the heavenly, the Lord from heaven. Hallelujah to God. And this vile body won't be able to make it. It won't make it. It won't make it. Guarantee it. Boy, it wears out fast. It won't make it. So he'll give us a glorified body like unto his glorious body. Could you imagine what Adam would look like right now if he's still alive in the flesh? Could not. 6,000 years old. Revelation 11 verse 17 says, saying, we give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Now, I put this in here, Revelation 11, 17, because this is the last mention of thanks in the Bible. First mention's important. Last mention is important. So the last time that thankfulness or thanks or thanksgiving is mentioned in Scripture is Revelation 11, 17. We give thee thanks. Now, here's what they're thanking him for. Lord God Almighty, which art, wast, and art to come. In other words, past, present, future. Because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Now, the 11th chapter of the book of Revelation is the same chapter that says, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ. Right now, the God of this world is ruling over this world. And the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The kingdom of God, every man presseth into it. They're forcing themselves upon what belongs to the Lord. But the Lord will not change it till he comes to take it. And when he comes to take it, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to physically, forcibly take what rightfully belongs to him that he bought and paid for at the cross at Calvary. And they thank him for doing that. For thou hast reigned. Hallelujah to God. That takes a great burden off of me. That does. Because I'll never build a kingdom on this world where all men of this world will fall down and worship God and accept him. They won't do it. They are in rebellion, and they'll stay in rebellion until something happens to them. Now, I'm going to tell you tonight what I am most thankful for of anything else. The most thankful for. It's not what God may do for my body. It's not whether he adds how many years to my life in this world. I'm just like you. I would like to live as long as God would have me live in this world. It's not easy to give up what you know, that you've always known, your life in this world. But I also know that there's a life inside me that is not of this world. This is what I am most thankful for tonight, folks. In 1973... I was as lost as any man could be lost. I was living in darkness. I was ignorant. I was in total darkness. And he came to me in a way that nobody had ever come to me before. And he got my attention like nothing else had ever gotten my attention before. Now, folks, I had just gotten out of 4 years in the Marine Corps. I'd seen an awful lot of stuff. And yet when he came to me, he got my attention just like that. And boy, when he got my attention, he drew me out of that darkness. He convicted me, and he saved me. That tonight is what I am the most thankful for of anything in my life. And I've got other things that I'm thankful for. Lord knows I do. Very thankful for. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for this ministry. I'm thankful for the fact that here at 70 years of age, God could still use me before I leave this world. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful I'm not in a wheelchair somewhere or a rocking chair somewhere, pushed out under a tree and forgotten. I'm thankful that I've still got enough of my mind left that I can be used of God to do something for the glory of God. I'm thankful for that. But I am most thankful for that encounter I had with God in 1973. Amen, folks. And nobody can take that away from me. And whether ever pope, ever church, ever priest, ever denomination, ever religion on the face of this earth can understand it or approve of it is irrelevant. I know what happened to me in 1973 when God saved my soul. I'm thankful for that tonight. I'll go into tomorrow and I'll be thankful for it. I'll go into the next day, and I'll be thankful for it. And the older I get, the more I thank Him for it. Because the older I get, the more my flesh asserts itself. And you'll have the same thing. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. And the number one part of your flesh is your fleshly brain. And you will carry to your grave those things you did in your memory banks. And the curse that Satan tries to use against you through your flesh, he'll fight you every day of your life. And I have to remind him, Satan, I don't belong to you, I belong to him. And renew my mind and put on the Lord Jesus Christ and renew it day by day. Young people, listen carefully to me. You think you can live like hell itself now and then one day it'll all be hunky-dory and everything. Let me tell you something. What you're sowing to now, you will reap later. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. Doesn't necessarily mean that God's going to put you in hell for what you've done. You get saved, you're saved. But you will reap it in your flesh. And if you are one of these arrogant kind that says, no way, you just see. Just live on. Just sail on. And you'll find out you'll reap it. Amen. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift.